Hard truths around a deep tragedy. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute of Principles and Policies. And along with today is our co-host, the Vice Chair, very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you hear some pops and wheezes and dropouts and that kind of stuff, we're doing the best we can. Technical issues, we're recording on a day with some bad weather, so things may sound a little funny from time to time. Our apologies for that, but we're doing the best we can with what we got.
Yes, that's exactly right. We are doing the best we can with what we have. And you know what? I think that's an interesting theme because of what we're going to be talking about today. I would believe that unless people have been and just come out of a coma, they have definitely heard, seen, or had conversations about the tragic shooting that occurred late last week in New York, where 20-year-old Adam Lanza decided to go in and, well, commit, as we call, suicide by cop, by going in and shooting up a school, an elementary school in Newtown, Connecticut. I believe the final death toll was 28 individuals' lives were taken by this. I hate calling him a young man. He's a 20-year-old adult, and that's, you know, it's difficult because everybody's going to be talking about this kid or this, that, and the other, but he's not a kid. He's an adult, and he made adult decisions, albeit bad ones, and a lot of people have lost their lives because of it. Now, over the weekend, President Barack Obama gave a speech at the site and was basically all but said, we have to ban all firearms because it was the firearms' fault. Now, you and I, Chuck, look at this and say, well, you know, there's more to this story than that. And even ironically, and sadly as well, at the same time that this tragedy was occurring in the United States, another tragedy was occurring around the globe in China, where a man went into a school and killed 20 children with a knife. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't matter what the weapon of choice was. The point is that someone had the intent to do others bodily harm and carried it out in the way that they felt was best for them. Now, Chuck, we're going to hear all kinds of analyses. You know, everybody from Handgun Control, Inc., to the NRA are out there talking about how one side or the other is wrong on this issue. But, you know, the answer is not as simple as all that.
Well, the answer is never as simple as that because, frankly, Barry, what's going on in this is rather typical, sadly. Here we have dozens of families who are suddenly find themselves without very often their youngest children or maybe their only child. Not necessarily the youngest, but still young, little kids, 6 years old, and they no longer have them. And what are gun grabbers doing? They're using this tragedy as a fulcrum to once again attempt to take away your and my gun. Now, my answer to this thing is, please let's stop and think rationally rather than emotionally. Can we ask ourselves how does my personal weapon in any way jeopardize your safety, your health, or your personal security? And the answer is, actually, my privately owned weapon enhances your safety, your security, your freedom, because I am willing to use mine in defense of you and your freedom and your safety and your security. I have no intention of using mine to assault those things. The fact is that there are people within the United States government who think that no one should keep or bear arms despite the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which plainly lays out the fact that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed by the federal government, and any restriction on any portion of ownership of any weapon at the federal level is forbidden. Now, people will come out and say, well, that means you believe that people should be allowed to own machine guns and bazookas and tanks, and I will reply to you, I believe those things should be regulated at the state level, as per the United States Constitution. Does that mean that I think the automatic weapon ban of 1934 is unconstitutional? Yes, I do. Does that mean that the state would not be allowed to outlaw them? No, it does not. But you run into a problem, Barry, and this is a constitutional issue. The Supreme Court has insisted that the 14th Amendment incorporates the Bill of Rights. In other words, this thing called the Incorporation Doctrine means that the states are also bound by all of the Bill of Rights. So in other words, if you read the 14th Amendment as applied to the Second Amendment, the states can't restrict those things either. I personally do not believe that because I reject the Incorporation Doctrine, and I reject the idea that the state cannot regulate ownership of weapons like bazookas and tanks and machine guns if they so desire. Now, frankly, I don't know how anybody would be damaged by the fact that I might own an automatic weapon. A bazooka? Well, my neighbors might get a little ouchy about that because what if it accidentally went off? You know that some idiot, if they own a bazooka, is going to leave it loaded and at some point is going to set one off someplace. So, I mean, I get that. Here's the problem, Barry. We are thinking emotionally, not rationally.
Well, and that right there is absolutely true, Charles. You know, this is a shock to the system of people who deep down have a moral foundation and a moral core that somebody walking in and randomly taking the lives of children who are 6 years old, 6, 7 year old kids, for no rational purpose whatsoever, strikes people in an emotional way. Now, the problem is, Chuck, is in our society, it's interesting that these things strike us in an emotional way, but for so many, you know, how many defenseless 6 to 7 month old unborn babies were destroyed in the womb intentionally with a rational purpose, at least in the minds of the abortionist and the mother, the same day that Adam Lanza opened fire in Newtown, Connecticut. But yet, we hear nothing about that. There's no national outcry in that respect. But because this was such a emotionalistic, sensationalized emotionalistic by the media, what we have now is all this hue and cry about, you know, we have to have a conversation about the Second Amendment. I think that was Senator Dick Durbin's comment. He's planning on holding hearings when they come back in January for the next Congress, because Senator Dianne Feinstein says that on the first day of Congress, she is going to introduce a bill that will ban the sale, transfer, importation, and possession, not retroactively, but prospectively, of assault weapons as well as high-capacity magazines. Now, of course, the definition of assault weapons is fairly fluid when it comes to federal policy. So, again, Chuck, I think we're pointing in the wrong direction here, because what we've got and what the media and some of these anti-gun folks and anti-gun legislators are pushing us toward emotionally is it's all the fault of the gun. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's just stop for a moment. A gun is an inanimate object. A gun cannot get itself up off the table or out of the holster and, first of all, load itself with bullets and then pull its own hammer back and fire, point itself in a certain direction and fire. It's an inanimate object, okay? It's a tool, just like many other tools, that if nobody is using it, it doesn't really do much of anything. And it's the intent with which you use it. Now, I can pick up a gun and go out and shoot an animal for food. I can pick up a gun and use it to break clay targets for sport. I can pick up a gun and hold it while I'm standing in front of my family while an assailant who's brandishing whatever weapon of choice they have is threatening my family, and I use it for defense. In every instance, the object, the inanimate object, is the same thing. It's the gun. But the point is, it's not the object that's the issue. It's the rational, supposedly logical being behind it, the human whose basic nature is not good but evil outside of Christ, and the way they intend to use it. If I pick up a shovel, I could dig a hole with it, Charles, or I could hit somebody over the head with it. It's intent, and that is all me. That is what's in my heart. Morally right, or if it's morally corrupt, if you're subject to the authorities to do as you would have done to you, or if I feel like I am a self-appointed autonomous God myself, i.e. totally selfish, totally simple, and embracing that, then to me, and I think to Adam Lanza, those around him are just objects to be used to fulfill his desires.
Well, Barry, part of the psychology here is, you're right, they're blaming the tool rather than the tool wielder. Now, I have seen this before where people see a gun simply laying on a top of a dresser or on top of some cabinet, and they will immediately go into hysterics.
Yes.
And, okay, what's wrong? What's wrong? There's a gun in here. Okay. So, they kill people. No, they don't. They are a tool. They do not, on their own, jump up, as you said, load themselves, aim, and pull the trigger. It requires someone, either foolishly or maliciously, to shoot you in order for bad things to happen. Now, is the fact that a gun is present necessarily an increase in the danger to you? No. In fact, it may be that you are in less danger because someone is armed. And we've seen that on many occasions. But that being said, we've got another issue here, Barry, and that is we have a young man who made the moral decision to murder his mother, steal her guns, murder his mother, and then go to a nearby elementary school.
That's right.
And murder a bunch of other children. Now, that being said, nobody wants to say this is the fault of someone who was clearly not sane. So what do? It's the culture, gun culture. It's this, it's that, it's another thing. We don't want to say, no, this kid was insane, and he made the decision based on his sanity, which is non-existent. And could we have done more to detect this? Well, what do you mean we? The fact is that it was clear to this young man's mother that he was disturbed. It was clear to this young man's brother that he was disturbed, and apparently, from things I've been reading sort of sidelong, it was clear to the father that the child was disturbed, and I have a feeling it was also clear to the mother that he was disturbed. She didn't know quite how disturbed.
Right.
Now, we've got an issue here, and that is how Christians view the problem of original sin. Is he evil? Yes. How evil is he? See, Barry, the difference is there are differing degrees to how evil people are, but we're all evil. Totally evil in our outlook. And the fact is, we haven't tried to deal with this issue through that lens. We're dealing through it with this emotional appeal that if we just took all guns away, took all large magazines away, took all assault rifles away, then these kind of things would stop. I would like to know what kind of video games this man had on his computer. Does he have Hitman? Does he have Call of Duty?
Well, according to early media reports, Chuck, he had some very violent video games. That seemed to be his preference.
Well, you know, my daughters and I were talking about this. And the fact is, they were telling me, well, that can't be it, Dad, because we can play such and such and so and so and not walk away from it, you know, and want to kill somebody. And I said, yeah, you can't, because you are in full control of your rational capability. This young man was not. He apparently, and a lot of these guys get into this thing where they're not sure what reality is anymore.
That's right.
Now, what do you do when you have a young man or a young woman, and most mass shooters are men? I think out of 61 of the last, you know, the last 61, one of them has been female. So it seems to be a male thing. I mean, it seems to be mostly a white guy thing. I'm, you know, why that matters, I don't know. But somebody keeps that statistic, and it's mostly white kids. And they have an innate inability to differentiate between the reality, the virtual reality of a game, and the reality of real-life people, flesh and blood, beating hearts, blood running through their veins. And that's not the kind of thing why aren't we talking about banning violent video games that may set off individuals like that? Well, the answer is because, well, the First Amendment. And I'd say, well, okay, banning guns is not allowed by the Second Amendment. So that argument doesn't hold water. So, you know what, Barry? Unfortunately, we are out of time.
We're definitely going to have to see this tomorrow because we need to take into consideration around this particular issue, and I'll let our listeners know about that.
Definitely. Okay, join us again tomorrow. expand this discussion for another Principles and Policies.